Hello, First Covenant. My name is Jill Lind, and I'm the Director of Congregational Care for the Central Conference of the Evangelical Covenant Church. My job is to help support, resource, and care for pastors and churches as they live into the call to further the kingdom of Christ on earth. So back in January, when Pastor Kevin contacted me about coming to preach in Peoria in September, there was no way I could have possibly imagined that this is how I would be bringing you this message. I love visiting churches. It's one of my favorite parts of my job. So this is really hard for me not to be able to meet you, to shake your hand, to give you a hug, to have a face-to-face conversation. But I'm also very aware of the germs that are around, and especially coming from a metropolitan area, the germs that I bring with me. And so out of all of our best interests, virtual is what it's going to be for now. But I do look forward to the day when I can greet you all in person. So as a conference staff, we have been studying the book of Mark together. And we had what I would call a really profound discussion one day, not that long ago, during one of our staff meetings, when we discovered that there are three instances in the book of Mark when Jesus goes and finds a solitary place to pray. And I want to read each one of these instances to you this morning. Usually when I travel to churches, I bring my family with me. I have an older daughter who's a freshman in college, so she is no longer living with us. But my younger daughter, Hannah, and my husband, Jonathan, are here. You guys, wave to the camera. And so I thought I'd put them to work this morning. And each one of us is going to read one of these instances from the book of Mark.
Our first scripture today is Mark chapter 1, verse 35 through 39. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons.
The second reading comes from Mark 4, chapters 45 to 51. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out, because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately, he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed.
Thank you, Jonathan and Hannah. And then I'm going to read our third instance, which is Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 42. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if it possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not that I will, but that you will." When he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping, "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." So just to give you a little bit of context around each one of those instances. In the first one that Jonathan read, Jesus and his disciples had been preaching the kingdom of God in Capernaum. And then word got out that they had healing powers, that they could cast out demons. And then all of a sudden the crowds are swarming them, right? I mean, you can imagine. So Jesus and the disciples, they're performing all sorts of healings and they're casting out demons. They're surrounded by people. There's a lot going on. And it's in the midst of all of this that Jesus goes and finds a solitary place to pray. And the disciples, they go looking for him and they find him and they're like, "What are you doing? We need you. We have all these people waiting for you. They need their healing touch. They're suffering. Come back with us so that you can heal them." And then what does Jesus do? He gets up from that prayer time and he says, "You know what? Actually, no, we're not going to go back over there. We're going to go this way. We're going to continue preaching the kingdom of God to those places who over there who have not yet heard. That is why I've come." And then in our second instance that Hannah read, Mark 4:46, Jesus had performed the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, right? So he was literally surrounded by 5,000 people, and he had been preaching to them, and then he fed them. Can you imagine feeding 5,000 people? Especially, of course, we've got the miracle part on top of all of that, but that's a lot of people, and I can only imagine that was just a little bit exhausting. And so he tells his disciples after that to just go on ahead, get in the boat, go off to Bethsaida. He'd catch up with them later. And then he goes to the mountainside to pray. And it was after that prayer time that he gets up and he sees the disciples struggling in the wind on the water. And he walks out on the water and he tells the wind to calm down and he tells them not to be afraid. And then it was in the third instance that I read in Mark 14:32. And here Jesus knows that he's about to suffer and to die. And he brings a few of his disciples to keep watch as he goes to pray to his Father. And these were fervent prayers of lament and sorrow and questioning. And he, as he bears his soul, you know, he's bearing his soul about the events that are about to happen. And he asks God to take it away, to deliver him. I mean, it was gut-wrenching. And then also a little frustrating as he realizes that the people who he trusted to bring with him to watch and pray as he did, knowing that this difficult road he was about to go through was going to happen. And he finds that they had fallen asleep. And Jesus continues praying, knowing that the sacrifice had to happen. And he leaves that prayer time knowing and willing to suffer in whatever way that God would have, trusting not only in his Father's love for him, but the Father's love for the whole world. Now, if you notice, in all three of these instances, they all involve situations of high anxiety, right? I mean, in these three instances, we find chaos, we find uncertainty, we find feelings of impending doom. That's sounding a little all too familiar, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but often when I'm in the midst of these kinds of situations and feelings, and it seems that they've popped up a lot in 2020 here, the last thing I think about doing is clearing my schedule and finding a secluded place to pray. And these weren't like 15-minute, check-in prayers, "Hi, God, thank you for the beautiful day. Please, could you help me with this?" No, these were this was time spent with God, hours. Remember, he sent his disciples away after dinner and didn't walk out onto the water until right before dawn. No, this was time, intentional time spent with the Father. For me, usually in times of high anxiety, I want to form a plan, a strategy. How are we going to get out of this? What do we do in the meantime? You know, it's okay. It's not that bad. Just give me a minute. I'll figure it out. I mean, that's what I'm good at. Maybe some of you can relate to that a little bit. Maybe others of you in the midst of anxiety feel a bit more paralyzed. Maybe you're gripped by fear or depression, and it's hard to see a way forward or even to know what to do. Or maybe your reaction is yet another very human response, which is why it's really important to note that Jesus, while being fully human, in the midst of these high anxiety times, whether it was uncertainty or fear or exhaustion or despair, Jesus reminds us that what we need to do in those times is, first of all, not to lean on our own understanding, but to go to the Lord, to cry out, to pray honestly and fervently, to spend time with God, knowing that God sees us, God hears us, God knows us, God has a plan for our lives, and certainly a plan for his church. God is not caught off guard, not by anxious crowds or frightful winds, not by those plotting against him, not by the coronavirus, not by the year 2020 and all that has come with it. It's easy for us to be a little frustrated by this, right? What do you mean pray? I do pray. I pray before meals. I pray in church. I pray here. I pray there. I don't really have time to do it any other way. Well, all I know is that Jesus, in the midst of his most hectic moments, made time, intentional time, at intentional places, and he prayed. He prayed his heart truthfully and expectantly. My question to you this morning, church, is in the midst of this very anxious time, and I know some of you are feeling the anxiety more than others, but in the midst of this very anxious time, how are you being intentional about spending time with God? What does that look like for you? What does it look like for you as an individual? What does it look like for you as the body of Christ? Are you praying your heart? Are you praying knowing that God is going to act through you? Are you praying in a way that is completely open to the Spirit's movement, even if it does not coincide with your own agenda? Are you praying intentionally and expectantly? Are you finding intentional times and intentional places? If ever there has been a time that God has literally cleared our schedules, right? I mean, I know we find ways to fill them back up again and then some. But maybe God is just trying to get our attention just a little bit, to say, come to me, abide with me, trust me, listen to me. I'm doing a new thing. I am moving and I want to move through you. Will you let me? Will you hand over your planning, your fear, your depression, your anxiety, your joys even, so that I can abide with you, move in you and follow, and you can follow me. And when I say hand these things over, I don't mean that you don't get outside help from others. God has put us in community for a reason, you know, and he often gives us what we need through the gifts and the talents and the expertise of other people. And often, I think, we are led to those others right after we've spent time with God. Has that ever happened to you before? I know that it's happened to me. And my prayer for you, First Covenant, in the days ahead, is that you find the intentional place and space to seek God's leading for such a time as this. That you follow the example Jesus gives us to meet chaos and anxiety with honest and fervent and expectant prayer. God has called you. God has called First Covenant of Peoria to be the hands and feet of Christ in a broken world. We are living in unique days, filled with unique opportunities. We have the chance to rise up and be the church, but it all starts with us getting down on our knees. Let us be the church that lives like Christ, that prays like Christ, that is used like Christ to help bring heaven to earth. Amen.
Benediction this morning is from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.